Chapter 4, Line Up and Wait, 2024. It brings me back when I read these. I remember when I wrote them, and I remember all the things that I was going through. And I'm glad that I can share them with you, because I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one that get it. And I was in this world, and this world is not helpful, is it? Everybody does not see it the way I need what I need. You know, the world sees it in such a way that it wouldn't be helpful to me. And when I start discovering the Lord, or I start needing things that are different than what has been happening, it's hard to find people that that can help me. I feel alone. I remember writing this stuff, you know, and I assure you I was not alone, and neither are you. But I remember writing this thing. I remember my headspace, and I remember, and I hope that it helps you today. Chapter 4, Line Up and Wait, 2024. Chapter 4 is the quintessential, I can't do what I want to do when I want to do it, so I'm going to do it anyway. A man makes his own luck. I've said all that stuff and more. God helps those who helps themselves. Another very expensive statement. Oddly, I never saw any of those statements in the Bible when I finally started reading it. I certainly didn't see all those. I'll tell you what I did find. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. That about says it, doesn't it? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Yeah. See, that's a little different than lock and load, boys. We're taking the hill. I do want to state there is a time to do. That's what this is about. There is a time to do and a time not to do. Prayer is prayed, and now it's time to get it done or not get it done. Not time to move. Line up and wait is go or no go. If you're lucky, that's your story. If that be your story, you know luck doesn't have anything to do with it. Deuteronomy 11:26. I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. Other gods could be anything. It could be your company. It could be your car. Money, property, prestige. It could be anything that takes you away from God. Did you ever notice when you're trying to do your Bible in the morning or your prayer that everything comes up, right? Let's say that in this particular example, it's go time. Let's say nothing comes up. It's time to go. It's go time. It's go time. Da-da-da, you've been waiting for this. It's go time. It's time to go. The door opens up. It's time to run. It's time to go. The gate drops. It's time to go. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is there a flip side to that? Yeah. It's time to go and you don't go. I get scared. It's time to go and I don't go. What? Yeah, there's a flip side to line up and wait. I don't go. I say things like, wait a minute, I'm not sure. Maybe God is talking to me. My gut tells me that something isn't right. Maybe I better pray some more or sit still or ask the neighbor or call somebody or search the internet or waste some more time considering an undeterminable amount of options. Either way, whether you go too soon or you don't go or go too late, a person can fail. Chapter 4, too soon or too late. Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the hardest part. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the hardest part, isn't it? When it's time to go, go. Until then, stay and be ready. If you go too soon or too late, impatient or fearful, either one can cause great, great harm. Psalm 46:10 says, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Well, sometimes it's hard to do that. I know, that's what this chapter's about. That's why I wrote it. That's what I was writing notes to myself. I didn't know I'd talk to you. I was so frustrated. I didn't know what to do. I wrote these down to remind me of what I was thinking. And was I a note taker? No. Why did I write these notes? God, it's the only answer. Do I impress you as a sit still and write some notes, think about it, and go to the library? Maybe invite my friends and we'll watch and see some books together. No, I'm not. C.S. Lewis said, "He who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only." When I wrote this, I didn't have anything except I did have God. I didn't know how much I had God until I looked back on it. Look, when I wait, if I can hold myself still, I check over all the systems, go over the plan, be ready, make any adjustments that I spot by being patient, kind of hanging back before takeoff, like in an airplane as a pilot, kind of waiting before they give you permission to take off. You're kind of checking all the gauges, a little adjustment here, a little adjustment there. Being patient. You can't just take off without asking somebody, right? But when it's time to go, waste not a moment. Pray as I slam the pedal to the metal. It's time to rock and roll. Why? Psalm 119. "Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold." Yes, more than fine gold. "Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way." When I know what the Lord has for me to do, I can't wait to do it. Well, no, sometimes I hesitate. The cost to stay on course and in His will, it's my head, the voice of reason and the voice of treason, both voices fight in my head, and the voice of treason causes such pain if I listen to it. But how do I know the difference? Well, I got to keep reading. What did I read back in those days? What did I read? Well, there's a guy named Mordecai in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Esther. And he spoke to his cousin Esther, a peasant woman who rose to be queen, my goodness sakes alive, back in the old days, in the old country, as they say. She rose to be queen, a peasant woman. That's a big deal. And she had to wait for just the perfect time to tell the king of this impending doom that would befall the kingdom. It was a bad thing too, man. It was bad stuff. And she had to wait for the perfect time to tell the king. Otherwise, he wouldn't believe her. So she did wait. She waited. And the perfect time came. However, when it was time, she froze up. Mordecai was her cousin, a watchful cousin that had looked over her as she grew up. He was a good man, and he stepped in and said exactly the right thing to her. Esther 4:14, "If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this?" Wow, that is so it right there. Perhaps you, who I'm talking to right now, were made for just such a time as this. Again, I quote C.S. Lewis, "If we let ourselves, we shall always be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we can really get down to our work. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable. Favorable conditions never come." That's so true, isn't it? We're always waiting for the perfect time. God will show me the perfect time. There's never a perfect time. You got to have faith and rock and roll. I've been preaching this thing lately that says, you know, God only gives you things that you can handle. He does not. He gives you things that I can't. He gives me things I can't handle. They're impossible. But in Him, all things are possible. But we're back to chapter 4, line up and wait. As the song in the 80s used to say, "Should I stay or should I go?" Oh, gosh, it's maddening, isn't it? The voice of treason. It'll sell you a bill of goods in the name of God. I'm telling you, the voice of treason will sell you a bill of goods in the name of God. It happens to me. It happens to all of us. We'll fall prey to it. How do you know? Again, listen and be still. God does know. if you can possibly stand still long enough to listen to his voice. Where do you see that in the Bible, Pat? Or where do you see that? I said that to myself. I said that to myself, you know, right? It wasn't anybody talking to me. Nobody cared about me enough to ask me those questions. I didn't have anybody that cared about me back in the day. Hey, Pat, how's it going with Scripture? Hey, have you listened to the voice of treason in your head or reason? Or what are you working on? Nobody cared. It was me and God. And thank God I wanted God. And thank God I was stupid enough that I didn't know anything about God, so I had to look it up in the book. If I'd have had any more information, like somebody else's viewpoint of God, that could have been bad. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. 1 Kings 19:11. How do you hear God? This is where I heard it. This is where I got the inkling of what God sounds like. 1 Kings 19:11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." He was saying that to Elijah. Elijah the prophet. Had a bad day. This guy Elijah had a bad day, and he was like bummed out. All he wanted to do was die. That's all he wanted to do is die. And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Whoa, okay, better go do that, right? Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Oh, wow. You mean the wind and the storm? Nope, wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. What? All this clamoring? That's big stuff. That's like the opening of the movie, right? Nope, no God. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Wait a minute. What's happening? It's the Spielberg beginning of the movie. What? No fire. What? The shaking and the wind and the big opening. And then it comes. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" What are you doing here? God. A gentle whisper. Pretty cool question, huh? I'd say. How often does the Lord ask me that question? Or should I say, how often do I hear the Lord ask anything? How can I hear it? It said it was a gentle whisper. How often does the Lord ask me? I don't know. How often can I hear anything? Can I sit still long enough? How come I have such a hard time understanding God? It's probably going to take me a lifetime to figure that one out. Why? Because Isaiah 55 tells me, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Oh, wow, that's not helpful, but now I know I'm not going to be able to figure it out too well. Not listening, however, is different than not being able to hear. Not listening is stubborn. And we know that one. It's easy to understand. I don't have to explain that one today, do I? Not listening is right up there with disobedience, isn't it? Not hearing, on the other hand, is an acquired skill. It's not hearing, it's an acquired skill to hear, work, practice, try it again. I'm a musician. When you learn a song, you got to listen to the song and try to pick out the parts to learn it. You got to listen, and you can't do that. It's hard to do. And when you first start learning songs, it's impossible. You're like, how can I ever learn this song without the music? How can I listen to it and hear it? Acquired skill, worked, practiced, tried again and again. The value, however, is well worth it. What would any of us give for the answers to the test, right? Basically, that's what's on the table. Listening to God is the answers to the test. Isaiah 55, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." Yeah, everything he promised to David, you get. You're the inheritance of David. You, by default, by believing in Jesus Christ, you get the same promises David got. Oh, yeah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of it. The lineage of the Jews, the chosen people. You get it. You get the promises of God if you obey. Well, how do you obey? You got to yearn for it. You got to look for it. Not looking for a reason for him to confirm your way of doing it. I'm looking everything. I'm desperately looking for him to confirm what I want to do. No, you're listening for his voice, for his direction. In today's society, if you deliver your product too soon, it's probably without quality control. In today's society, we don't think about God, but we should. We're worried about produce, deliver, and collect. Well, we should be, okay. But add God, produce, deliver, and collect in the will of God. If you go too soon, quality control is at risk. If you train people too fast, they'll fail you. If you trust people without checking it out, they're going to fail you. If you borrow money from a bank before you collect receivables, you cost yourself dearly in interest and penalties. Try to avoid hot to trot. I try to this day. How many years ago did I write this? I still try to lock and load. Let's go take the hill. I got to hold myself back. I got to remember. I stumble to this day without writing chapter 4 down. I would think I did it for the first time yesterday. I look at chapter 4 how many years ago. We work on this our whole lives. We either go too fast or we stand still in fear when the correct opportunity is right in front of us. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Why did I put that one there? Because I get mad if I don't go too soon, or I get mad if I can't go and I want to go, or I get mad if I should have went and I didn't. Oh my gosh, it gets crazy. Trust him. That's hard to do. Trust him. It's hard to do. It's a daily everything. You got to struggle for it every day. And I said, there's a struggle for knowing what he wants, not a struggle for him to confirm what you want. Oh, that's the hard part, isn't it? I'm looking for scripture to confirm what I want. If I get what I want, I'd be in jail. And another thing, never compare yourself to anyone. Now I did that all the time, comparing. You are you. I am me. And in him, we are best. Comparison is such a problem, a waste of the mind. What have I learned over the years? Does my mind ever see anything right? No, my perception is always off. My mind sees bad people doing well, and my eyes see good people who have more than me. Right? And every time we see the movie, the bad guy's got the cool suit on, the cool jacket, he's the cool guy, you know, he's the man in black, blah, blah, blah. And I see good people. They're good people. They look like everybody likes them, and they've got everything. It's an illusion, I'm telling you. I've learned over the years. I'm a chief financial officer. I've seen their balance sheet. When I think people are doing good, it's an illusion. Your eyes, my eyes, we can't see anything accurately. To get the correct perspective takes some homework, not perception. Perception, bad. Perspective takes some homework. And what does it matter? What does it matter? All of it's an illusion. My eyes can't see anything accurately. I don't know the balance sheet of anybody unless I look at it. And even if I did, it doesn't have anything to do with me or what the Lord has planned for me personally. Can you see the struggle when I wrote this? Can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you identify with it? Is it good? Yes. Why? Because the only place I can ask for it is God. Can my neighbor answer these questions? No. Can my mom and dad, if they love me, they can feel my frustration. They can tell me to pray. They grew up Catholic. I often say it was the Pope and then my mom. Same thing, Pope, my mom, right? Right? I mean, she got so bummed out when I started playing in Christian churches. You know, she started, you know, that I left the Catholics. I finally had to tell her that I was on loan from the Catholics to the Christians to show the Christians how to do it. And then when the Catholics needed a rock and roll piano player, I'd go right back, Mom. She felt pretty good about that. Now, I don't see the difference between what is right or evil. I can't look at it and see it. How can I know the heart of anybody? How can you know the heart of anybody? It's best that I keep with what is mine. It's what is mine to do and to do it. Right now, I didn't put the scripture in here because I just thought of it. There was a place where the apostles said to Jesus, hey, which one of us is the best one? Well, and he said, just worry about yourself. Just worry about yourself. There's another time where I think it was Peter said something to him. How come you like John better than me? Or do you like John better than... And he said, Worry about you. Worry about you. Now, I'm sure I paraphrased those scriptures wrong because I didn't write them down. But they just popped in my mind, and I've learned when those things happen to follow along. Follow along with the Lord. I see better, and when I pray and when I'm reading scripture, I see better. And the wisdom of true believers in fellowship. True believers. True believers. Not, like I said, not searching the scriptures to confirm what I want, but to search the scriptures to do what is inconvenient, what God is telling me to do that I don't want to do. It's always inconvenient. Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, whatever that is, right? Psalm 37, 7, it helped me. I was like, so they were thinking about it all the way back to David. Okay. Look, I have learned it is easy to believe that what is should be something else. It's easy to believe what is. When I finally get correct perspective, I finally know what it is. Now I think it should be something else. What do I mean by that? Oh, we say it all the time. Well, this is what it should be. It could be. It's supposed to be. It used to be. Blah, 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 blah. It never ends. We got to go with the way it is right now. The way it is. Not the way it should be, supposed to be, could be, blah. The way it is. It's stupid to judge a situation after the Lord has given you something. What do I mean? I judge what is given to me like it's not enough. How often do we easily do that? We get a check from somebody that owes us money. We get a check for half the amount. And we complain. Who knows? Maybe God had a plan. Maybe in the negotiation for the rest of it, we might find ourselves with a new contract, an upsell, or a referral with better payment arrangements. Get into his perfect timing and quit living in aggravation. Like maybe he forgot or didn't understand. Oh, man. I just got a call a week ago. I told this guy, don't do this thing. You know, God's directing me to do it. I'm going to do it. That's it. I'm doing it. Okay. That was a few months ago. I get a call next week. You got to help me. You were right. It wasn't right. Oh, gosh. By that time, the resources are spent. There's nothing you can do. You know, you've missed the window. Why? Because you didn't dig Psalm 32, 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Trust him. Loving eye on you. Not my critical eye, my loving eye. Gosh, scripture's helpful when you really need it. If you find the right ones, I have learned. Mute your phone. Whoever's moving around right now, mute your phone. I have learned to be patient with the Lord as he has been patient with me. Yeah, I learned it from God. God was patient with me. He could have killed me how many times? I could have killed myself how many times? Fear is without information, isn't it? It's without information, and caution is with information. Caution being the experience that God has given me. He gave me caution. Throughout the adventures of my life, I learned. Fear is kind of a test of faith, isn't it? I proceed into uncharted territories. In fear, one is without information. So get the information and learn how to use it. Get it. I have learned that fear is without information, without God, without knowledge, without wisdom. Caution is with the information. Proceed cautiously. Let God reveal his plan in you. Now, do we ever come up with the answer to line up and wait, which way it is to go? No, I have not come up with that. What I have come up with is that it is an answer in and of itself in each situation. It is an answer in and of itself in each situation. God, in his wisdom and knowing of me, knows that in each situation I will have to come to him because I don't know. And I'm afraid, and I don't know, or I'm anxious, and I want to go, and I'm afraid. I might jump the gun, or I might not go in time. What is that? That's Psalm 144. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. Prepare your heart each time it comes up, and your mind, to receive the wisdom required to do the next thing and be peaceful about it. Don't get the answer and then you're like, well, I don't think so. All of that is your testimony. All of that is required in chapter 4, line up and wait in every situation. Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Oh yeah, man. He knows what you're doing. Go to him in each line item. This isn't a brushstroke from now on. If I see it, I'll do it because it's the Lord. It is not. Every situation has its elements. And in conclusion, I want to be clear about chapter 4. Line up and wait. Line up and wait presupposes that there is a plan. You've been working on a plan. You and God, you've been planning. And you know what needs to be done in the plan on that day. Line up and wait does not work running by the seat of your pants in reactive management mode. Like cooking, there's a plan. A time to wait for each element to be prepared and seasoned, set upon a plate for serving, certainly not too soon, for it will not be prepared properly, and not too late, or the food will not be the right temperature, or it'll be ruined. Line up and wait also presupposes that you have a correct relationship with the correct God in the Bible. What's that you say? Correct God in the Bible? What is wrong with that boy? I don't get it. Well, it's not one that you made up or kind of adjusted according to your needs or my needs, like something I kind of adjusted God that he kind of sees it my way, or whatever is popular in the culture or a community at the moment. If you continue to seek him out in that word, John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Oh yeah, brother. Sing it, daddy-o. John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Chapter 4, line up and wait. 2024, it's your time with the Lord, man. Be all you can be. Amen. John, let's rock and roll.